Hey guys, thank you for clicking play. Thank you for using that index finger and that fat thumb and clicking play. My name is Courtney Lindsay. You can find me at yellowribbonventures.com or Yellow Ribbon Ventures LLC on Facebook, Instagram, and on this free podcast. Again, thank you guys for clicking play, and we are on episode 4-1. 4-1 episode is going to be question and answer. So there's a question and answer from Dominique Wade. We're going to try to sum that up and go from there. And let's see what she says here. And the question is, I found that wholesalers don't necessarily have the best rep. And it is an illegal practice in some places. What do you do if you run into a potential seller who is familiar with the language wholesaler use and how they serve in sale? Thank you for using that serve. That's awesome. An automatic shutdown thinking it's a scam. All right, so let me try to sum this up. You're trying to say that what if you see a seller and you know, there's a lot of wholesalers that did promise that they're going to close the deal, but they never did. So everyone thinks it's a scam. What do you do? Right? All right, so let me see if I can chop this up in different, because there's a lot going on in this this question. So the first thing I want to say is, yes, there's a lot of wholesalers out there that promise to deliver to buyers, I mean to sellers, and never do. And so back in the 39 episode, I believe it was, when I talked about interacting with the sellers, all right, it's very important to know if they've tried to do something in the past on the home that you're looking at. It's very important to ask that question. Hey, what have you done? Have you tried to market the property yourself? Or what have you done? Because you can have an idea with that question whether or not they've interacted with other wholesalers, whether or not they've been promised something and that person never delivered. So that's why it's important, if you go back to those questions in episode 39, that you ask those questions. It gives you an idea. If the seller just started the journey of raising their hand that they need help, or maybe they have risen their hand before and people came by, no one helped, and they tried it again with another wholesaler, no one helped, and you are the third or fourth person coming to them, promised them to help them, but never relieve that pain. So that's why it's important to make sure you get those questions asked when you're interacting with that seller, because it gives you an idea whether or not this person has interacted with investors before. Have they interact if they're familiar with the language? All right. So again, too, when you interact with the seller, you got to keep in mind that I mentioned in episode 39, you either going to have a motivated seller at the end of those questions, or you're going to have possibly a potential seller in the future. And so if someone thinks it's a scam and they don't want to move forward and they don't want to give you, they don't want to ask you, they don't want to answer all your questions, then they go into that box of potential lead for the future. After you get everything you can, you would try to educate them and slowly bring them to realize that you are serious. Making those small commitments that I mentioned back in some of the episodes, where when you interact with sellers, you want to do small commitments and you want to make sure those commitments are fulfilled. And one of those small commitments is when you talk to them on the phone, like, hey, I'll give you a call tomorrow at 1 p.m. And guess what you got to do tomorrow? You got to call them at 1 p.m. Because if you call them at 1 p.m. tomorrow, he said, you know, that's a small step. That's a small trust you just built with that seller, because they know that, okay, yeah, he did make the call at 1 p.m. Okay, all right. That's one little cookie for you in a sense, all right? And then, you know, and then you make an appointment to, I'll see you there at 6 o'clock at Starbucks. guess what? You're there 5 to 10 minutes prior. That's another small commitment that you honored. Another cookie goes into your jar from the seller. These are small commitments you want to slowly do and build so you can get the trust that you will fulfill the bigger commitments, as in the close the deal, and you're not a scam. Hopefully that made sense. So your seller, when you ask them those questions, the seller interaction, you're going to figure out if they're motivated or they're not motivated. And if they're motivated, then you keep going. If they're not motivated, you figure out why, and you put them on a follow-up with that CRM. You put them on the follow-up, and you continue until they do get motivated. Remember, again, not motivated seller today or tomorrow in 3 months can be motivated. So you don't want to fight someone that's not motivated to be motivated. You want to recognize what it is and put them on a follow-up. And eventually, they might become motivated when you finally build trust, when you finally make those small commitments, and they're ready to realize you will make the big commitment as well, which is to close the deal. All right? So that's how you can work with the sellers that thinks it's a scam. Sellers that know the language, you know, the and/or sign, or the invested to be determined. Chop that up bad. And/or sign or invested to be determined. Those language, if they understand it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they understand it, because as long as you produce, as long as you have the team, it's totally fine. So don't be afraid if they understand it. And if they understand it, then they should understand that your story and what you're giving them will become something that sounds like it's going to happen and it's going to become real. And again, starts off with making those small commitments to the seller. Make as much small commitments as you can before meeting that seller. The more small commitments you make, I'm going to send you an email out, you know, by the end of tonight. Make those small commitments. The more small commitments you make, the more building relationship you're doing before you even see them. And when you do see them, it almost feels like they kind of know you if you have 4 or 3 or 2 commitments already completed. They got you as, okay, this guy is serious or this female is serious. So if they understand the language, it doesn't matter. I've had old school guys that used to do real estate. You know, it doesn't matter. If they have a need, and if they're motivated, they don't care what the language is. They want to sell. You know, if they want $200,000 and they see the language and or sign or invested to be determined, they don't care, because as long as they get what they want, which is their need, their pain is being relieved, and you're giving them that money, that cash in escrow, they don't care how the paper is written. So they won't worry too much. And if someone is really worried too much, then that's where you got to build that commitment, that trust with them, with those small commitments and steps. All right. And then again, if they're not motivated, you can't force them to. You put them on a follow-up. You understand their story, their pain, and slowly become that person that relieved the pain. All right. So that's that question. Let me try to figure out what else was in this. It said something. Yep. So some wholesalers, yeah, they don't have the best rep because they don't commit. You know, some of them are doing the pit bull style when they talk to people. They want to make the deal work right then or there. Or they're one cookie cutter. They just have a, you know, offer. If you either take it or leave it, and they move on. So they have a bad rep. But you want to be that wholesaler that becomes not a one cookie cutter, but you want to become that connector I spoke about in the last episode. You want to really truly listen to that seller. You really want to find that pain with those questions. You know, a good leader asks great questions. And that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to ask those great questions when you're interacting with the seller, like I said in episode 39, and you can add more to it. Because the more you know about their pain and why they need to sell, the more you can be in tune to relieve that pain. So that's how you're going to be different from the other guys as well. You're going to be connecting with the person. You are a connector. Your team is a connector. And that's the approach I would like you to be when you're talking to a seller, whether they're motivated or they're not. They still have a need, and your goal is to connect that need and fill it. All right, so let me see if I can go back. So now you said in certain places it's illegal. And I'm going to put this out there. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an attorney. I'm not any of those. But I do hire those guys. I do have them in my team. And I mentioned before in a couple of episodes that you're going to need a team. You're going to need a team. But here's what I can say for a freebie when it comes to starting out and you don't have the money, the resources, but you're trying to build your team. It's very important to that contract you have, or it's illegal, to figure it out. First, I want to say, and this is, again, I'm not a lawyer, attorney, and I would highly suggest you do that if you're trying to get more detail. But what I can say off of my off the top of my head, wholesaling is it's a transaction. All right, you're not pretending to be a broker. You're not pretending. You're pretending to be a real estate investor. That's what you are. All right. And you don't need a license to be a real estate investor. You don't need a license to connect one person need and another person need together. And there's a fee behind it. There's no license for that. You know, it's almost saying that you need to be a license for to sell your private car. Say, for instance, you had your private car and you had it, you know, $5,000 is on a car. Do you have to take that car to a dealership for the dealership to sell your car? And the answer is no, you don't. You put it on Craigslist for $5,000. Someone sees it private owned and they buy it. That is totally fine. There's no rule breaking there. Now you can go take that car and bring it to a dealership where there's a car salesman and he has the certificates and license or whatever. And he's going to mark down the car so that he can get his fee in the middle of it. And then he's going to sell it. And that can be another way to cook, you know, to cut the, you know, to skin the cat. So you don't need to have a license to buy or sell a home. You don't. And one of the ways you can verify all of this is on your team, you got to have a title and escrow that is investor friendly. And I've said that in a couple of the episodes early on. When you're building your team, you have to find a title-friendly, a title escrow investor-friendly company. And what I mean by that is they understand the language of and/or sign. They understand invested to be determined. They understand wholesale. All right. So you got to start calling those local title company that is in your area. Because remember, again, just make this transaction close. It's not an I. It's not an I going to do this. It's we are going to do this. And so to close that deal, you're going to have that contract be accepted from an investor-friendly company that understand that your assignment fee, that understand and or sign, that understand this contract looks good. One of the ways you can have your contract get reviewed, and here's a golden nugget. If you have a purchase and sale agreement, one way you can get that purchase and sale agreement reviewed by a lawyer for free is you find a company, a title and escrow company, because you need those guys to send all the contracts to. You send your purchase and sale agreement to, you build a relationship again. You call one of them up, you tell them your story. I'm looking to buy a few homes in the area. You create that story again of what you are moving towards. And I would love to start bringing you business. Is there a person I can start interacting with so I can go directly to if I have questions or concern? And when you meet that person, he or she you meet,
you want to say, hey, I have a purchase and sale agreement. Can I send it your way and have it review so that way before I put this house under contract, there's no issue on your side? And if they say, sure, ahead, go ahead and send it to me. That title and escrow has a lawyer that is going to look over that contract. And guess what? They send it back to you. Yep, everything looks good. Just let me know when you're ready to, when you have a contract fully signed. You just had a lawyer reviewed your contract for free. And then at that point, you will know if it's illegal. And I can give you a very high chance it's not going to be illegal. You can take a napkin. This is how simple it is. I can take a napkin and put, I, Courtney Lindsay, want to buy property address, and I have you sign and I sign. And I take that napkin to a title and escrow. They might not like it, especially if I blew my nose inside of that napkin prior. But let's say the napkin is clean. If I take that napkin and take it to title and escrow, they're going to open a file. And that transaction is going to be open, ready to be penned into close. So, is OSEL illegal? I have not ran into that situation. And it's illegal when you tell a broker that. And if you tell a broker about wholesale, they're going to say it's illegal because you know why? They're inside of a box. And I'm sorry if any of you guys are brokers, but they're inside of a box that they have their broker hat on. And that's all they think about is the broker and how they went and they got a license. Just like a car salesman got a license to sell a car, or the dealership had a license, the car salesman got a certificate, and he's okay to sell under the certificate. The broker's got their certificate or license, and that's all they know. This is probably the right way to do it. They don't know about the investor hat, the outside of the box hat. And as an entrepreneur, as an investor, you are outside of the box. And so if you ask a broker if the wholesaling is illegal, they're going to say yes, because they don't know any better. They've never been introduced to that word wholesale. They only know commission because that's the word that comes from the box being a broker. They don't know the box wholesale. Same thing with people that, you know, want more income, right? That box is in the employee category, paycheck. That's in the employee category, right? Cash flow. It's in another category. So if you're going to ask me, or if I'm going to ask you, right? So it's all on the mindset. So you can't ask the wrong person with the mindset to give you the answer you need. You're not going to get it. And hopefully I'm not all over the place. So you have to find the right person with the right mindset. And you start by having the right team with the same mindset. You can't ask someone with a different mindset in a different box to think about going outside of it. It's not going to happen. They're going to say it's illegal. It's not, I don't know, because they don't know the answer. I wholesale, and I wholesale in whatever state I want to, because I build a team that would have the same mindset when I take that contract to them, the title and escrow. They understand what this is, and they get it done. But back to what I was saying, you know, so one mindset is I want more. I want, I want a paycheck, and another one is I want a cash flow. You can't ask someone with a paycheck about cash flow when all they know is I just need to work harder to get another paycheck. Where a cash flow, you're not working for it. And it has so much more benefit than a paycheck. So if you ask me, hey man, you want another paycheck or you want more cash, positive cash flow? I want positive cash flow. because I don't have to work for that positive cash flow. While I'm sleeping, the money is coming in. With that paycheck, you have to clock in. So I can't ask the paycheck person mindset about cash flow. And it's similar to the cash flow. I can't really ask the cash flow guy about a paycheck because he doesn't want to put in time as money. He doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to put time as money because that's not how it works for him. And that's the guy in the cash flow box. So hopefully that wrapped up that question, which is, again, build your team. Having those team, again, it's not an I game. You can't close a transaction with I. You have to have a team. So start calling some title and escrow company. And if you have a contract, those are the guys that need to look at that contract. And again, before you just ask someone, here, do this for me. I need you to do this. You have to create a story. And not a storyteller like a liar. You have to create a story to make you different from the one call that came before. You have to tell a story that, hey, you know, I'm a new investor. I'm looking to buy a couple homes. And in this area, I saw you. It looks like it's highly recommended from Zillow or Redfin. How do I go about building a relationship so I can start interacting with the same people over and over again, making this transaction, closing in and day out? Create your story. And when you do build that relationship, before you start asking them to do something for you, once you build it on the phone, do you mind if I send you the contract that I'm using to look over, so that way as I get these signatures, I am not having any issue with, you know, are you guys investor friendly? Do you understand wholesale and or signs? I just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page. And if they do, that's the team you need. And you need to send that contract over so they can review it. And then they come back, the contract looks good. There's a lawyer and a title and escrow that has to review those contracts. And if they come back and say everything is good, then you're good. If they say, hey, you got to take this out because we won't be able to do this piece. And guess what you do? You take it out. Because you know why? That's a lawyer that's telling you that, the reception to tell you. And you just had a free lawyer look over your contract. And guess what? It's legal. You see what I'm saying? All right. So hopefully that answered that question there. I'm all over the place, but it is a lot of stuff in this question. What's the next thing here? All right. So now let's look at this now. So if somehow, right, you can't make the deal work, right? Let's say, you know, you can't make the deal work. That person still has a need. They still have a pain, right? So there is a way to make it work where you build a relationship with a broker, right? And this is why I was telling you before, you have to have a team. And I tell you again, you build a relationship with a broker. And if somehow, worst case scenario, there's no way you can help this person, this person still has a need. And your goal as a connector is to fill that need, is to be a person that connects. So now you need to build a relationship with a broker that any lead, which is, I would say, dead. Any lead that is dead, you can refer that dead lead to the broker. And you just connected someone, the seller, that is a dead lead for you because it can't work because that's the worst case, right? You just connected that dead lead to a broker that need to sell or to sell a home. Now the seller found a broker. The broker is happy because he has a home he can sell. The seller is happy because he can put it on the market and possibly get it. But before you do that, you need to build a relationship with the broker and say, hey, you know, this is my story again. This is why it's so important to come up with your story that you're ready to serve to someone when you speak to them. Because when you develop that relationship with the broker and they understand your story, when you take that dead lead because it just didn't work for you, You hand it off to the broker, you can get a commission for doing that. And in a sense, it's almost like you being a bird dog to the broker, you being a referral. And a referral can go anywhere from, when I first started out, you know, $500-$600. Because if a broker is going to make 10 grand off of that referral and you get $600, and say you have 5 or 6 of those referral going on to the broker, 600 times 5, 3 grand you're making right there for dead broker, dead leads. And those dead leads, you're still helping them. You're not saying, all right, see you later, then I can't help you, bye. You're still connecting them with someone that can help them. And when you are a connector, you connect two people together naturally, and you add value to those two people, the broker that needs a home to sell, the buyer, the seller that needs to sell their home, naturally, money will come. All right? So that's what you can do for a dead lead. And I call that a dead lead, is where you build a relationship with a broker that if the number just doesn't work for you and you tried every way, you listen, you try to make it work, but somehow the seller is just on a crazy number, then you start serving the seller to a point like, hey, I have a great person on my team that is, you know, real estate, and his name is XYZ. And he's very good at marketing and putting the property and getting it sold. Can I connect you with him or her so we can still help you in this situation? And you already have a relationship with the broker. That broker all of a sudden put that together. And boom, that dead lead becomes an income. So that's how that works on that piece. All right, so the last thing, and I'm trying to remember these, because you don't, when I'm doing this recording, I am not able to see those questions. It just goes straight into the recording, and I'm not able to see those questions. And the last, I think, was that, my last question was, you mentioned something about a REI Pro. I haven't heard about the REI Pro, but I did Google it quickly. And it does have some very, it has like a one-stop shop website where it has a lot of stuff in there. One of the things for you is to have as many tools as possible to quickly analyze that home. And I mentioned that in episode earlier. Your goal is to, as you see a property, you want to have the right tools to quickly analyze it, move forward. I've invested in a lot of tools to where it's not Zillow, it's not Redfin, it's not any of those, because those are public tools. And if you look at those public tools, while they are going to give you information, they also say right at the bottom that we're just guessing as well. But if you can get tools that get you more pinpoint, then I highly suggest you do that. I did look at that REI just quickly, and it said that it does a lot of things. It's CRM. It has a comps. It has where you send out letters. It has where you can find the owner name, address, all that stuff. That helps you quickly analyze a home. So if it makes sense, I will say continue. I have one, and it's called PropStream. And, you know, that right there almost allow me, no matter what state I want to do, it almost allows me all the information a broker would have. So it's almost like I'm a broker in all states. So if I'm in, you know, Virginia or I'm in New Jersey, if I want to find out all information like a broker would have by having their license and they're working at John L. Scott or Windermere or whatever, I have a website. I have a program that allows me, it's called PropStream. It allows me to have access to all that information, and I am not a licensed person. But it puts it all at my fingertip and all in one place. So if you have a software that's going to gather Redfin, Zillow, Trulia, all these sites, and they put it in one, and you put an address in and it just compares everything, your goal is to simplify. So if it simplifies your assessment, the faster you can assess, the faster you can say yes or no,
motivated or not. If motivated, make a deal close. If not, follow up. Next home. Motivated or not. Motivated or not. And if they're not, follow up for a couple more months and try again. Motivated, follow up. Motivated, follow up. Motivated, follow up. And if somehow they're not motivated and you can't help them and they don't look like it's a follow-up, then that's where you take that dead lead that you can't do nothing with. And even in 3 months, they're still going to be stuck to their same thing. Then you take them and take that dead lead, refer it out to a broker. And that broker will pay you for that dead lead. And you still help someone. You still help the broker. You still help the seller. And just keeping this in mind as you start telling those stories, that first broker you tell it to and say, hey, man, I can start doing this for you. I can start sending you my dead leads. Are you interested in it? I can, but it will be after they actually sell the property. It will be after they sell the property, then they will give you that commission. It will be after. So that they have nothing to lose. You're not trying to get the money right up front before they actually see if the seller works or not. So the money will be after the transaction is closed. They sold the home. You get paid. And the same thing when it comes to the title and escrow. That first title and escrow might not understand that box you were talking about when it comes to wholesale and investor friendly. And if that's the case, call the next title and escrow. Remember again, a no today or a no, it's just they don't understand it. It's not you. It works. That's why I'm on here. It works. So if they don't understand the language you're speaking, go into the next room. Go to the next person. And that's for the broker when you're talking about the dead lead referral. And that's also for the investor friendly. And also for any one of your team members. They have to understand the same language. They have to have the same mindset. Because remember again, if you go back in a couple of episodes, you have to get the right team. You got to get investor-friendly contractors. And that was an episode. You have to have everyone have the same mindset, the same thinking. And if they don't, it's not you. You have to call the next person. All right, this is Courtney Lindsay. Thank you for Click and Play. Thank you for continue to listen to the episodes. Again, if you guys like what you hear, pass it on to someone else. Share it along and help them out as well. All right. Thank you guys. And I'm out. Courtney.